Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 18.
Hello everyone and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 18, Episode 3. First and foremost, a huge thank you to everyone who reached out following last week's episode and for everyone who's getting in touch with the feedback regarding our new series, Dark Realms. It's certainly been a challenge to, after reading so many paranormal articles, to try and create one myself, and if there are any errors, please don't point them out because I'm very new to trying to write them, especially given the number of rewrites that I need to do on them to make sure that they're presented within the Dark Paranormal brand sphere. Because it may come as a surprise to some, but I don't sound like this all the time. The cadence that I use, some of the words that I will use, are not some of my everyday parlance, shall we say. But when you are presenting a podcast, you need to make sure that what you're saying is clear and understood. And that's easy enough when you have somebody's experience to read from, but it's rather more difficult when you're writing it from a blank page. So, genuinely, all the kind feedback regarding Dark Realms has been amazing and very supportive, and genuinely, I've come to expect nothing less from you wonderful listeners. Now, today we're going to hear a series of experiences that took place in a house, which may be the root of the experiences, or it may be the people. Or it may even be one of those situations where something causes fear and feeds off fear. And therefore, it's almost a cyclic, never-ending wheel of turmoil. So you'll need to let me know what you think is the cause of what we're about to hear. And don't forget, email your experiences over to contact@thedarkparanormal.com. We've got something pretty special lined up for upcoming seasons, and therefore we need as many paranormal experiences as possible. So that's contact@thedarkparanormal.com. For any long-time listeners who've jumped into Season 18 at this episode and have recently joined Patreon, we now read the names of our newest team members at the end of the experience. But we still give it a plug at the start, quite simply because I believe we've built one of the most genuine and sincere communities about the paranormal on the internet or anywhere else today. It's the perfect blend of nice, like-minded people looking to discuss the topic that they love, the paranormal. There's zero toxicity and there's zero hierarchy also. You also get access to all of these episodes, both ad-free and before anyone else. And of course, you can gain access to our Dark Bites Patreon-only podcast, which not only runs 52 weeks of the year, but has a back catalogue of well over 70 hours. So if that sounds like your thing and you'd love to join our team, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, it's time. Lower those lights, make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door, as we hear all about Shadowed by Dread. I've been an avid listener of the podcast for quite a while now, and I absolutely love hearing all the different experiences that people have shared. It's fascinating how each story brings its own unique perspective. Every time I listen, I'm reminded of some of the eerie experiences I had as a child, which have always stayed with me. The following are just a few of the memories that come to mind when I reflect on my childhood home. Like fragments from a stream of consciousness. Recently, I even reached out to the other people who are part of these stories, and they sent me their recollections, which I'll share later. I've always been a firm believer in the paranormal, as has my mum and sister. However, my father was always the skeptic of the family, quick to dismiss anything out of the ordinary, or quick to find a rational explanation for any strange occurrences. I spent most of my childhood living with my mum, Elaine, and my elder sister, Emily, in a semi-detached house in Croydon, Greater London. It was your typical residential street, and our house, built sometime between the 1930s and 1950s, had a few quirky charms. One of my favourite features was the porthole in my bedroom, which had a rose motif stained glass window that cast wonderful patterns in the room when the light hit it at the right angle. For the most part, our life in the house was very ordinary, though it was often punctuated by the loud, fiery arguments between my parents. My dad, well, stubborn would be a good description, set in his ways. My mother, well, equally strong-willed, she would never back down. And so these fights would echo through the house, the tension thick enough to feel in the air. That front door would slam with a resounding thud as my father would storm out, his heavy footsteps on the pavement as he left. Sometimes he wouldn't return for days, occasionally weeks, and eventually those weeks became months, and my sister and I grew accustomed to life with just one parent, the majority of the time. My mother is the very epitome of strength and resilience, though she's also deeply sensitive and attuned to what's going on around her. A firm believer in the paranormal, she would often tell us ghost stories when we were kids. Some of her stories have certainly stuck with me over the years, like the time when my grandfather was using a Ouija board with his friends, of all things, to predict the winners of a horse race. That is, until it spelt out, "I am the devil. Look out of the window." Or the time she went on a school trip to North Yorkshire, and she woke up to find her hair was being braided on its own whilst the piano located downstairs began to play. But I think I'll save those stories for another time. My mum has always believed in energies, and she was convinced that our house had a negative one. She thought it might have been connected to my father's presence, which seemed to set off something unsettling. I also believe that my father must have a negative energy or entity attached to him. The house had its creaks and groans, as all old houses do, but these noises felt different, more deliberate. They didn't follow the usual patterns of settling wood or the occasional gust of wind. My mum would say it was the house settling, but we all knew, even her, that it was more than that. Every year, my family and our family friends would take turns hosting a New Year's Eve party. In the early years, the strange happenings were minor, almost unnoticeable. But as my parents' marriage deteriorated, so the events grew more intense. One year, during one such party, when I was maybe about 8 years of age, we were all gathered in the dining room, enjoying the food, the drinks, the music, everyone having a good time. And then, from the front room came a loud crash. Well, we all looked at each other, puzzled. And on realizing that everyone was accounted for, we went to investigate. The mantelpiece above our fireplace, usually adorned with candles, photographs, and ornaments, had been completely cleared, as if someone had angrily swept their hand across it, sending everything crashing to the floor. There was shattered glass, broken items everywhere. It was baffling. No one had been in the room, there were no open windows, and nothing above the mantelpiece that could have fallen. The only possible culprit could have been our cat, Spot. But he was hiding upstairs, avoiding the crowd. So it couldn't have been him. No one was in that room from the beginning of the night, and after it happened, we all made the decision to stay in the dining room instead. Fast forward to my teenage years, and I was dating my first boyfriend, Lee. Lee wanted nothing to do with anything paranormal. No horror movies, no ghost stories for him. On yet another New Year's Eve, my sister was upstairs with her friends, while my mum, Lee, and I were in the front room. We were on the floor playing a board game, with the countdown on in the background. Suddenly, the doorbell rang, and my mum got up to answer it. It was one of Emily's friend's parents coming to pick them up. As Lee and I continued playing, all of a sudden, three DVDs flew out and landed near me. One by my feet, another at the small of my back, and the third by my head. It's worth mentioning that our DVDs were all neatly stacked beside the TV stand on the floor, so there was no reason for them to fall or fly out like that on their own. How could they have moved? There was no logical explanation to what happened, and still to this day, I can't explain it. At the time, I didn't feel scared at all. I do remember thinking, oh, it's just the presence. He's got enough energy now to make himself known. Like it was building up a year's worth of energy and releasing it now on New Year's. These experiences have always left me wondering, and I can't help but believe that something beyond the ordinary was always at play in our home. My sister moved from the smaller back bedroom into the front bedroom when she became a teenager and needed more room and a double bed. The front room was more spacious, big windows, and a great desk with a huge mirror mounted on the wall. She'd come home from school and go up to her room as usual. She'd done so one day to find a huge crack in the mirror. She shouted for me, but had no response until I walked in after her. Her face was visibly confused, annoyed, and accusatory. "What did you do to my mirror?" she shouted. Well, I had no idea what she was talking about. She proceeded to tell me that I will be in so much trouble when Mum gets home. I walked into the room with her and saw the mirror. I turned to my sister and said, "It wasn't me." I watched her face change as she realized that she was the last to leave that morning and the first to return. My sister's old room was directly across from mine, and every evening I'd glance into it with a slight sense of dread. Something about that room just didn't feel right. From my doorway, I could only see the left side of the room. The chest of drawers and wardrobe were lined up against the left wall, while the room opened up to the right, out of view. In the center of the back wall was a small cupboard that led to a crawl space that we used for storage, though we never went in there. It wasn't until after she moved out of that room that my sister confessed she used to watch that little door most nights, feeling as though either someone was watching her or something was behind it. I'm not sure if it was just my imagination running away with me, but there were moments when I could swear I saw faint shadow figures standing near her doorway. They were never fully formed, just dark outlines, ones that seemed to waver in the corner of my vision, like something glimpsed through a frosted glass. These figures never moved closer. They never did anything threatening, but their mere presence was enough to send a chill down my spine. I would blink and rub my eyes, opening when I opened them again, they would be gone. And sometimes they were, dissolving into the shadows of the bedroom. leaving me to wonder if I'd seen anything at all. Other times, they lingered just a moment longer, waiting for me to almost acknowledge them, to admit that they were there, that they were real. Let's take a quick break in proceedings to talk to you about the holiday season and the M word, not mistletoe, money. Because food, decorations, presents, they don't come for free. And at this time of year, everyone knows to the last digit what is in their bank account. Well, I know I do anyway. And when I get my statement in January, I look and think, I didn't need to go out then. I didn't need to buy that. I didn't need to buy as many of those. And I kick myself and say, next year, you'll do something better with your money. And that was me rinse and repeat until last year when I actually did. Now, you'll have heard me talk about Acorns before, and there's a reason for it. Because Acorns make it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or just even your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to a dollar and automatically invest that spare change for you. So if you buy a coffee on the way to work, that's investing. And you can get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. The change I said I made last year, well, I looked at all the excess I would have spent and I invested it. And believe me, guys, that's why Acorns are so important. And I'll be doing the same this year, because when you look at your statement in January and you see you've invested money instead of wasting it, it's a great feeling. So head over to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When Lee would stay over, he had to sleep in my sister's old room since we were only 15 and couldn't share a bed. Even now, he says he hated going in there. It made him feel deeply uncomfortable, and still gives him the creeps thinking about it. He would stay with me until I fell asleep, avoiding that room as much as possible. When I reached out to Lee, asking if I could include him in this submission, he reminded me of something I'd forgotten. A strange, unsettling moment. It happened in my sister's bigger bedroom, the one she moved to when she outgrew the smaller one. One evening, Emily shouted for someone to come to her room. Lee, Mum, and I all headed to her, hearing the panic in her voice, and we noticed something so bizarre. A hairbrush stood upright in the middle of the floor, balanced perfectly on its handle. It was like some invisible force was holding it there, defying the laws of gravity. We all stared at it, unnerved, and then watched as it fell to the floor. We all tried to recreate what we'd just seen, but no matter how carefully we positioned that brush, it would topple every single time. It's no wonder I spent most of my teenage years at Lee's, avoiding the unsettling feeling that had begun to creep over me whenever I stepped into my own home. Throughout our house, there was always this odd, unsettling feeling, like an invisible presence lingering in the corners. It wasn't something we talked about openly, but we all felt it. The sensation, for me, was strongest in the office, a small room just off the front door. It was a cozy enough space by day, with a wooden desk, an old Dell computer, a bookcase and a few bookshelves. The blue office had a border running around the middle of the wall, a common feature in homes from the 90s, with its moon, sun and stars patterned strip dividing the room into two distinct halves. By day, the room was unremarkable, a simple space with blue walls, the border adding a touch of decoration. But by night, the room transformed into something entirely different. Those soft blue hues that seemed calming during the day took on a colder, more shadowy tone as darkness fell. The room's corners, usually harmless, grew darker and deeper, as if they could swallow you whole if you stared too long. Most nights I would sit in that office, chatting with friends on MSN, catching up on the day with Lee. The screen's soft glow would light up the room and cast shadows that danced along the walls. But no matter how truly engrossed I was in my conversations, I could never shake that feeling I was never truly alone in there. It wasn't a loud or obvious presence, it was subtle. Like the faintest whisper of air against the back of your neck. I'd be sat there typing away, and suddenly be gripped by the sensation that someone was stood right behind me, peering over my shoulder. My heart would skip a beat, and I'd glance back expecting to see someone, or something, looming in the doorway. But of course, there was never anyone or anything there. Just an empty room, silent and still. The unease would settle deep in my bones, a creeping discomfort that I couldn't explain. The feeling wasn't constant, but when it hit, it was overwhelming. I tried to ignore it, telling myself it was just my imagination, that it was late, I was tired. But the more I tried to dismiss it, the stronger the feeling became. It was like the house itself was feeding off my denial. I began to develop little habits to cope with the unease. I'd play music, filling the room with sound in an attempt to drown out the silence that seemed to hum an energy of its own. I told myself that if I keep playing the music, whatever it was, this presence, this thing that watched over me, wouldn't be able to reach me. Sometimes I'd catch myself holding my breath, listening for something I couldn't quite identify. Even though I knew it was pointless, I'd often glance behind me, my eyes darting to the doorway or the darkened corners of the room, half expecting to catch a glimpse of something, anything, that would explain this feeling. But there was never anything there. Just shadows and the dim outline of furniture. But the air around me seemed to be thick and heavy, as if it was saturated with something much more than just usual stillness of the night. There was a palpable weight to it, almost as if the very atmosphere was pressing down on my skin, making each breath feel denser, more difficult to breathe in. At the same time, I noticed a subtle shift in the room's temperature, the warmth gradually seeping away, leaving a faint chill in its wake. It wasn't enough to make me shiver, but just enough to send a creeping coldness through the air, amplifying the sense of unease that already clung to the space like a fog. The contrast between the thick, almost suffocating air and the slight drop in temperature only heightened the sensation that something was wrong. It was as if the room itself was reacting to an unseen presence, one always hovering just out of reach, but making sure its influence was felt in the most unsettling of ways. When I asked Emily about her experiences in our childhood home, she shared a few stories I already knew. Like when we would walk into a room and all the cushions from the sofa would be in a pile in the middle of the room. But what I didn't know at the time was that my now brother-in-law would also have his own unsettling experiences in that very house. On multiple occasions, he witnessed shadows silently glide across the hallway at the bottom of the stairs. He described them as dark, indistinct figures just out of the corner of his eye, moving with a strange purposefulness that sent a chill down his spine. Another story she mentioned stood out that I hadn't remembered until now. Emily and our mum were sitting on her bed one evening, chatting about usual things, school, friends, plans for the weekend. The room was quiet, just the two of them, the familiar hum of the house in the background. Everything seemed normal until the DVD player, which had been off, suddenly powered on by itself. The machine whirred into life and the disc drawer slid open with a soft click, then closed again just as quickly. They both stared at it, momentarily stunned. Then, as they watched, something even stranger happened. A small, white light, a glowing orb, approached near the DVD player, floating in the air just above it. It hovered there, moving slowly, almost as if it were alive. Both Mum and Emily were frozen, their conversation long forgotten as they followed the orb with their eyes. The orb circled the DVD player a few times, then, to their shock, drifted towards Mum. Emily's breath caught in her throat as she saw the light touch Mum. The moment it made contact, the orb darted away, shooting across the room and disappearing through the door. Emily turned to Mum, her voice trembling. "Did you see that?" she asked. Mum just slowly nodded, her face pale. "I saw it," she said, her eyes wide with a mix of disbelief and unease. They sat there for a long moment, the room heavy with the lingering sense of something they couldn't quite explain, the DVD player now silent, as if nothing had happened. But the air in the room was different, charged with an energy both could feel, but neither could explain or understand. Emily told me that neither she nor Mum could ever figure out what that orb was, or why it appeared. My father comes into play in the last story, which was only told to me after we all left the family home. He was sitting on the sofa in the front room one evening, watching TV, when he saw my mother walk in from the corner of his eye. Without looking up, he started talking to her, expecting the usual responses. But when she didn't reply, he turned his head and found an empty room. He sat there, confused, trying to rationalize what he'd seen, but nothing made sense. My father was a practical man who didn't believe in ghosts and was always quick to dismiss strange occurrences. But this time, he had no explanation. He was adamant he saw someone come into the room, and he admitted it was the only time he'd ever felt uneasy or scared in that house. Not long after that was when he left for the last time. I realize these stories may not be as dramatic or thrilling as some others we've heard, but I believe these subtle encounters can and will resonate with people, those who've had similar experiences. There's something powerful in these quiet moments, when something inexplicable happens and you just know that something more is present. It's not always about the grand, terrifying events. Sometimes it's the small, almost imperceptible things that leave the deepest of impressions. I hope that by sharing these stories, they reach those who understand that feeling. The sense of being gently reminded we're not alone, that there's more to this world than meets the eye. Maybe, hopefully, they'll find a sense of comfort in knowing that others have had these understated yet profound experiences too. It's that shared understanding that can create a connection. It offers reassurance that these subtle encounters are part of a larger unseen presence. Thank you for reading, Jess. Jess, I want to thank you so much for your submission for episode 3 of season 18, because your parting paragraph is such a valid point. Not everything needs to be dragged down the stairs or thrown across the room to be absolutely terrifying to the person that's experiencing it. Remember, the dark paranormal doesn't have to be about possessions or devils. In this experience, we have somebody afraid to enter their own home. Now, for me, that covers something so dark and paranormal, it wants you to be somewhere else than where you live. And it's a brilliant reminder that not all of our experiences that we cover need to have blood on the walls, etc. They can be more subliminal, they can be more sporadic, and still have just as a profound impact. So Jess, thank you so much. Right now, it's time to say a big thank you to our newest team members over at Patreon, who will of course got this episode ad-free and before everyone else, along with every other episode on this feed, and of course can gain access to our entire back catalogue of our Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. So a huge thank you to our newest team members, who are Amy Aldegua-Waters, Tiffany Williamson, Ruby, Jane Anderton, Jake Bonshire, Lee, Megan Malcolm, Lena Dominguez, Tristan B., Daniel Sneed, Stacey Bainey, Brandy Levy Dot, Paul Large, Storyfeller, Optimism, Una Vita, Reagan Lewis, Pierre S., Jess, Jasmine Redmond, Ama, Inga Louise, Dev G., and Big Mike 247. A huge thank you to all of you who've signed up. You literally are keeping the show going. You're supporting something that you love for less than the cost of a coffee per month. And of course, you gain access to all of those early ad-free releases, and you can gain access to the back catalogue of over 70 hours worth of Dark Bites podcasts. And if that sounds like something you'd be keen to enjoy, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And also, at this present moment, you can also gift someone a subscription to Patreon. So if you're looking for that last-minute gift, head on over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But until I speak to you all again on Monday, when we step into yet another dark realm, stay safe and remember, whenever you discuss the paranormal, always keep some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll speak to you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.